Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's wonderful to be up here and see all your shining faces. One evening I was playing Scattergories with a group of friends from Unity South. Scattergories is a board game where you write down words that relate to a certain topic or category. And each word must start with a specific letter that is rolled on a die. For example, if the category was boy's name and the die rolled a D, then you would put down words like Dennis, Dave, Donald, Dylan, whatever. Now playing with my friends, the category that night was four-letter words, and the letter was F. All of us thought of the infamous F word, of course, but no one put it down because we were all in Unity. It was an exciting round, and we had lots of laughs over it. A few days later, I was studying Charles Fillmore, who was the co-founder of Unity, and I noticed his name began with F. Well, my mind went back to that Scattergories game, and F words started floating in my mind. And they expanded until there was a complete sentence of F words. And so I wrote down a sentence with a few small conjunctive words so that it made sense as a sentence. And I thought today might be fun to discuss all those F words that describe Unity. Here's the sentence that I came up with. Forfeiting fundamental falsehoods, the founding Fillmore's faith formed a fellowship to find and formulate a fine, fabulous, friendly framework of foundational freedom from a faithful, forgiving, fantastically flourishing Father God. Now I'm going to break down that sentence into small segments so that you can understand the idea behind each of those phrases. Now, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore were originally from traditional religions. Myrtle grew up in a strict, upper-class Methodist home. Her father was a fire and brimstone kind of guy, but she was treated as an invalid because she had childhood illnesses, which were rather serious. Charles grew up in an Episcopal home. His father abandoned the family when Charles was small, and his father and his siblings lived in poverty. As their story unfolds, you will see how Charles and Myrtle's fundamental religious beliefs and life experiences influenced the creation of the truth principles of Unity. The first segment of the sentence is forfeiting fundamental falsehoods. For both Myrtle and Charles, strict adherence to the literal translation of the Bible described a split personality God, which left them confused and uncertain. God could be friendly and cooperative, but he could also be ruthless and mean. So this unpredictable, changing nature of God could make people feel unsure of how God was going to accept their prayer requests. Now both Charles and Myrtle were taught that they were born into sin because of the actions of Adam and Eve, and their natures were stained, inherently flawed by the stigma. Their churches employed a hierarchy of power wherein ministers and church leaders interceded and advocated for the congregants. This may have discouraged congregants from having a relationship directly with God. They were also taught that it was only through Jesus Christ that they could be saved from the damnation of sin and be granted eternal life. Now Myrtle felt doomed as a victim of her inherited illness. Charles likewise had a physical challenge early on. After an accident in his youth, Charles was left with a crippling, unhealed hip, forcing him to use crutches or walk with a cane. Perhaps because Myrtle and Charles were both physically unwell in the first half of their lives, or perhaps because Charles was a drinker, or perhaps life was just difficult for them in the mid-1800s with slavery and other volatile issues in the air, they sought a practical Christianity that would address everyday physical and emotional needs of theirs. The need for a spiritual answer became more urgent when doctors gave Myrtle only 6 months to live. With medical help no longer a feasible option, Myrtle and Charles were desperate. They had three small boys. They sought every avenue of healing they could find. One evening, they attended a New Thought healing lecture, even though they didn't know anything about affirmative prayer or the power of thought to heal. Myrtle heard the speaker say, "You are a child of God, and therefore you do not inherit sickness." These words shook Myrtle's foundational belief system to the core. She had always believed that she was doomed to suffer and die from her inherited disease. Was there a possibility that she could escape this inevitability? The simple idea that she was a beloved child of God and that God's will for her could only be perfect health, life, and wholeness filled her mind and possessed her being. Myrtle and Charles embraced this new idea and forever forfeited those old fundamental falsehoods in order to entertain a new way of experiencing Christ in their lives. She now had a new vision to move forward in faith, knowing that God was not a capricious God, but was really wanted her to be healed. Those traditional religious tenets they learned as children had been proven false. That old belief that she was doomed to be an invalid her entire life and then die from this disease was washed away as she examined and embraced these new affirmative thoughts. These new thought ideas changed her perspective completely, and they became the seeds of the Unity Movement. The next segment is, the founding Fillmore's faith formed a fellowship. Now, Myrtle repeated many times a day that inspiring statement she heard in the lecture. And as it sunk into her subconscious, she began grasping onto this new idea of God being only good and loving, and she herself being a beloved child of God. Myrtle was inspired to see God differently, to see herself differently, to think differently, to pray differently. Myrtle began claiming healing rather than begging God for help or feeling doomed and hopeless altogether. The Fillmores began realizing that they did not need a mediator between themselves and God. They could speak to God directly, and they found that God was receptive to a cooperative relationship. Myrtle now saw God as friendly and good, and she began relaxing into God's care. Myrtle came to understand that God was willing, even eager, to give her the kingdom of heaven here while on earth in the form of a healed body. Because God was now her friend and her savior, Myrtle's prayers were different. They were filled with expectation, gratitude, and thanksgiving. She knew that God was already gifting her with health and life. Her belief that God was good and blessing her now, even before she saw the healing occur in her body, was the key to her healing. As she continued to focus on that truth, her body began reflecting her newfound beliefs that she was healed. And within 2 years, she was completely healed of her disease, which was tuberculosis. She realized that her change in thinking and beliefs had opened her to healing. All her life, she believed that she was doomed to sickness, and her body reflected that belief as sickness. But when her thinking shifted to believing that she was healed, her body manifested those new beliefs as a state of wholeness and health. Of course, after Myrtle was healed and the word got out, others flocked to Myrtle's door for her to teach them how to heal themselves. And she shared what she had done. They began incorporating the techniques in their own life and began healing themselves also. Now remember, Charles was still needing to use crutches and a cane. He had watched Myrtle heal herself, and now he was watching her friends heal themselves. Now, Charles was not convinced of the spiritual healing stuff, but he was of the scientific kind. And so he began studying healing metaphysically to see if it would work for him. In his own way, he began healing himself. And eventually, both the Fillmores were healed of their physical challenges. With them both co-creating their physical healings, a larger than ever fellowship of seekers formed around them, wanting to be taught. And the Fillmores shared their wisdom with everyone through classes, group discussions, and prayer. Thus, the first three principles of unity formed in their minds. The first unity principle recognizes that God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, the source and creator of all. God is absolute good. Before any healing could take place, both Myrtle and Charles had to embrace God as a loving, healing source of good. In their minds, God no longer had a fickle, bipolar, human-like personality. God was unchangeable principle of truth, which could be relied on every time for their highest good. The second unity principle focuses on humankind being inherently good and divine. Every individual is a divine being, possessing a spark of God within. This inherent goodness is seen as a reflection of the divine nature within. Myrtle began realizing that if God were everywhere always, and God was good always, then God was within her always, always doing good in her life. This new belief replaced the belief that she was a sinner and that humans were inherently flawed. The Fillmores dismissed the idea of being born into original sin and embraced the idea of being born into original goodness. In their healing process, Myrtle and Charles developed a different perspective of Jesus Christ. Jesus was no longer the interceding Savior, but Jesus' teachings took on new meaning as it was the means for them to heal themselves and live a God-inspired life. They no longer believed in Jesus. They believed Jesus. Jesus was the big brother, and his teachings showed the way by his words and his action. Jesus became the way-shower for them. The Fillmores learned from Jesus that they were equal brothers and sisters to Jesus, and that the Christ within them gave them the same unlimited potential that Jesus exhibited. Just as Jesus was a co-creator with God when he walked on earth, the Fillmores realized that they also had latent divine powers and were also co-creators with God. This emphasized even more the second principle of human beings being inherently divine. The third unity principle emphasized the creative power of thoughts. As they were healing, both Myrtle and Charles realized how powerful their thoughts and beliefs were in shaping their reality. Thoughts are creative energetic forces that influence our experiences and attract certain outcomes. The Fillmores and their followers continued to demonstrate the power of their thoughts as they shifted their thinking from low vibrational frequencies of negativity, sickness, and fear to high vibrational frequencies of positivity, healing, and love. They created a vibrant, thriving community as a result of disciplining their thinking. Our next segment is to find and formulate. They say that opposites attract, and Charles and Myrtle were direct opposites. Charles was an intellectual focused on science. He worked things out in his head, and he wrote voluminously. Myrtle, on the other hand, was emotionally based, focused on spirit, worked things out in her heart, and she only wrote three small books. They both embraced the idea that God is love, but from different perspectives. Charles focused on the scientific principle of God as energy, while Myrtle focused on the spiritual aspect of God as love and kindness. Thus, they came to realize both the impersonal and the personal aspects, the father and the mother of the divine source. As their scientific studies and prayer practice delved deeper into this new God concept that was being revealed to them, they developed their own unique, passionate perspective. Charles was always fascinated with the metaphysical meanings of things, and he developed the 12 powers of man, which was based loosely on the Hindu chakra system. The 12 powers of man describe the metaphysicality of human beings, how the human and divine natures of humankind develop into their Christ self. Myrtle helped men, women, and children experientially connect to those 12 powers within themselves for a better life. As Charles and Myrtle found wisdom and insight, they formulated even more the ideas that unity would become. Our next segment is A Fine, Fabulous, Friendly Framework. The framework Unity was developing was completely different than their original religious teachings. Whereas the frameworks of their traditional churches were based on fear, isolation, uncertainty, shame, and inferiority, their new Unity movement was developing a framework of joy, connection, stability, equality, and grace. Myrtle and Charles had both healed from their physical conditions as a result of resting and receiving in a prayerful attitude of expectancy and gratitude. The use of prayer and meditation became the fourth Unity principle. Unity sees prayer and meditation as tools for connecting with a divine presence and aligning with God's will. These practices are believed to facilitate healing, prosperity, and spiritual growth. Affirmative prayer and meditation was the cause of the peaceful, contented attitude of the followers. More and more people joined their ranks. They were fine, friendly people, living harmoniously with each other, due to their developing a positive relationship with God based on Unity's principles. Our next segment is of foundational freedom. Living a God-directed life brings a great freedom. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth is, you are divine, all of you. You are good, all of you. And you are powerful, all of you. You have the same qualities that God has because we all are of God. We have Spirit's spark within us. Knowing that and acting from it brings a spiritual freedom. This lifestyle of vibrant living demonstrates the fifth Unity principle. The fifth Unity principle focuses on living these principles in our lives and sharing love with others so that they also may feel the peace, love, harmony, and grace of God in their lives. It's not rocket science. When we feel good, when we are spiritually growing, we vibrate with love and peace. People want that in their lives. It is there for the taking. Or should I say, it's there for the asking. It is God's gift to us. All we have to do is ask for it and accept it. Our freedom lies in our asking and acting. Our next segment is from a faithful, forgiving, fantastically flourishing Father God. Now, over the past 136 years, millions and millions and millions of people have been taught about this faithful, forgiving, fantastically flourishing Father God. All of Unity's outpouring of love and action comes from a heart of joy, not a heart of fear. God is good, period. Period. God is good. When we ask for God's gift and we receive it and act on it, our consciousness gets into alignment with God's good. And beautiful, uplifting, serendipitous miracles occur in our lives. The grace of God provides the favorable environment of guidance and wisdom to help us grow and develop into a healthy, vigorous way. We grow by opening ourselves to God's love and loving others. As we do this, we come to realize that the Father God gives care and protection to us to learn, to grow, to thrive, to realize our true divine nature and live in harmony with ourselves and others. Myrtle Fillmore summed up unity like this, quote, "Unity is not about joining an organization or following dogma, but about realizing the indwelling Christ within each person, healing through prayer and meditation, living love daily in relationships and choices, and practicing truth rather than just believing it. Unity is inclusive, practical, and experiential, a spiritual method for transforming life through direct contact with God." Unquote. Pretty powerful statement. In summary, the Fillmores explored a new way to be in relationship with God. They came to realize the following principles. God is good everywhere, all-powerful and all-knowing. Humankind is good and divine. Our thoughts are powerful manifestors. Affirmative prayer and meditation align us with God and open us to spiritual growth and a purposeful life. And the last one, living these principles every day brings love, peace, joy, and healing to us. And in times of challenge, the principles give us strength and resiliency to move through the process to receive the miracle. So as a parting suggestion, on the far-fetched chance that you are ever playing categories, and the category is unity, and the letter rolled is F, you can answer with fantastic, phenomenal feedback. Mm-hmm. So let's prepare ourselves for meditation by reciting aloud the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So let's just ready ourselves for some quiet time. Close your eyes if that feels comfortable for you. Take some deep, slow breaths. Release anything that may be on your mind so you can be present. Allow that life-giving air to fill you to capacity. Allow your mind to relax and become willing to open your heart. In this moment, we surrender to the God of love, the God of good, the God of peace. We are children of God, and God longs to give us the kingdom of heaven. In our greatest need, God is always within us, with us, and for us. Take these affirmations into yourself as your own. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. I am spirit, perfect and whole. I express the life of God fully. The life of God is flowing through me now, renewing every part of my body, mind, and soul. I am filled and thrilled with a healing life of spirit. God is the perfect life within my mind, my heart, and my being. Let's take a few moments in the quiet to invite and allow these warm, affirming truth statements to soak into every fiber of our being. We thank you, sweet spirit, for awakening within us a deeper understanding of our divine selves and how blessed we are to know this. For all of this, we are very grateful. Thank you. And so it is. Amen.